thinking about the message, I was actually reminded today about Carrie and I's trip over here from Hawaii, and how we were trying to get everything in order. We had a bed to sell, we had the car to sell, and it seemed like time was running out. And so, but you know, Yahweh was with us and he's working with us and making sure that these things were taken care of. So on the last day, literally, we sold the car. On the last day, we sold the bed because we weren't going to ship it here. And so, you know, these things were taken care of. But today I would like to talk to you about growing in patience rather than growing impatient, which is often the times, you know, what occurs. And when we take a look at what is happening today, we can see a lot of impatience occurring. But that shouldn't be among us. We should grow in patience. And this is kind of a personal message for me today, because I found myself this week being impatient and not having the kind of patience I wished I had. So I needed this as much as anyone, I think, today. But I trust there's enough here for all of us. And I think we can all relate to different situations that have come up in the past and even maybe of recent history in which, if I just had a little bit more patience, maybe things would have gone a little bit better. Because sometimes our impatience can cause troubles, and we don't want any more troubles than what happens. But we do go through trials and testings and different things that test our mettle, shows us what we're made out of. So let's go to James 1. Whoops, not the song. Sorry, I'm doing the. Someone was wanting to do the scriptures on the PowerPoint. I think we will start doing that again. But at this time, if you'd open up your scriptures to James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, we'll read there. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Well, we had faith, but felt like a little bit of a test, getting the car sold at the last minute and getting these things done. But it produces patience, because when we do see things being worked out, when we thought, how is this going to happen, then we learn some patience. Produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. The New American Bible here says endurance. The King James uses the word patience. The English Standard Version uses steadfastness. The complete Jewish Bible says perseverance. The idea behind what James is speaking about is not to fall prey to temptation, because if we're impatient, that can lead to problems with temptations and these type of things. Now he continues going down a little bit to James 1 verse 12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Master has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted of Elohim, for Elohim cannot be tempted by evil. He himself does not tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. When lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. This first part here, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Master has promised. The Apostle Paul, basically, early on in his life, in the faith, he said, he did his utmost to, win the race, to overcome, to not be disqualified. But I think at the end, when he said he was ready to be poured out like an offering, he recognized that he had run the race. He had awaiting for him a crown of eternal life. And so he was encouraged at the end of his life, knowing that he had done the utmost to do everything that he could to be pleasing to the Father, to serve and to accomplish the will of the Father, which, Yahshua sent him to the Gentiles, and he understood that, and so he did what he was told to do. But various trials and testings come into our lives, and it came into Paul's life, which we'll read a little bit of. But it tests our character. It shows our weaknesses. It also shows our strengths as well. We continue to move forward no matter what, and with Yahweh's Spirit, we can produce the fruits of the Spirit by enduring with patience, avoiding evil. So James brings out that Yahweh is not the problem. We are the problem, and Yahweh is the solution. Because just before this, he presented the idea that we are to ask Yahweh for whatever we need. And in return, he will provide. James 1 in verse 5, backing up. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of Elohim, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. What else does Yahweh give? Well, good things for sure, and certainly we should desire wisdom. But why? So we can understand. But that we also do what is right and not be harmed by doing what is wrong. For his laws and his ways are for our own good. Let's go over to Psalm 111. Psalm 111. There's things that are incumbent upon us to gain those things which we would desire. And it says in Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. How long? Forever. And his commandments will go on forever. And the wisdom of Yahweh will go on forever. Action on our part provides wisdom, such as respecting the Father and keeping his commandments, having our senses exercised to do the right things and not the wrong things. And it's a conscious decision that we make every day in our lives. Romans 15, starting in verse 5. Romans 15. Won't it be great if these scriptures are put back up on the, then you won't have to go to the particular, you know, it'll be a lot more quicker. I think that's one reason we stopped putting them up on the screen, because, you know, we want to open up our Bibles and take a look at these things. But it'll be helpful to have them up on screen, too. And, Melinda, you had mentioned that there was a lady that is hard of hearing, and that would be good for her to be able to read. So there's advantages. So maybe we'll let John just open up the scriptures, and we'll go ahead and put the scriptures up here when I come up. But Yahweh's will be done. Romans 15, 5 through 6. Now may the Elohim who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another, according to Messiah Yahshua, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the Elohim and Father, our Master, Yahshua the Messiah. So here, perseverance is translated patience in the King James Version, just as endurance was translated as perseverance in the complete Jewish Bible previously. So we have a selection of thesaurus or synonym words which describe the same thing. The Complete Word Study Dictionary of the New Testament says of this word, hupomone, it's Strong's 5281, basically means persevere, remain under, bearing up under, or patience, endurance as to things or circumstances. This is in contrast to macrothumia, which is Strong's 3115, which has more of a meaning of long suffering or endurance towards people. So macrothumia, when we're together, hupomone, when you're talking about general things. But it goes on here to say that this refers to the quality of character which does not allow one to surrender to circumstances or succumb, that is hupomone, is associated with hope and refers to the quality of character which does not allow one to surrender to circumstances or succumb under trial, generally meaning endurance, patience, perseverance, or constancy under suffering in faith and duty. Now, some of these words we'll take a look at. 1 Thessalonians 1 and starting in verse 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we'll go through 2 and 3 here, verses. We give thanks to Elohim always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your faith or your work of faith. So, you remember James, you know, faith without works is dead. Your work of faith and labor of love, so love also is not just by itself, but steadfastness, this is the word hupomone, of hope in our Master Yahshua the Messiah in the presence of our Elohim and Father. It's encouraging to know others are praying for you. Did you know that in Ethiopia there are brethren baptized in Yahshua's name praying for all of us here? We need to pray for them. I just saw an email and haven't responded yet, but maybe they'll be watching this and they can know that we will be praying for them. That is encouraging. We need to pray for one another. We need to know that. In fact, there was a greetings from Australia, the brethren there. They said, have a blessed Sabbath and day of Pentecost. Responded back with the same. Let's keep them in prayer as well. Because we're all going through this in the body, in the spirit, needing support. And that support ultimately, yes, each other, but ultimately from Yahweh through the Spirit. And if Yahweh is reminded of, that's fine. He can provide and help us. And when we go into, thinking about 1 Corinthians 1:2-3, let's just go ahead and read through the whole thing again here. We give thanks to Elohim always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor and love, steadfastness, hupomone, of hope in our Master Yahshua the Messiah, in the presence of our Elohim and Father. So it's encouraging to know that, others are praying for us, that we're praying for them. It's encouraging for them. The word here, hupomone, which is the same word with the same meaning in James, which we read earlier, which generally means endurance, patience, perseverance, or constancy under suffering in faith and duty. Suffering, well, some in Ethiopia have suffered with a plague of locusts. Those locusts are traveling. They're now into India. They've gone through Pakistan, and they're increasing, and they're lingering. So this is something we've heard a month or two ago, and we're still hearing about it. They're still increasing in number, so kind of a severe thing, especially for areas like Kenya, Ethiopia, where they grow a lot of their own food, and without that, they go hungry. And there's been droughts and other things in the past, but this is a pretty severe thing that they're dealing with right now. But suffering says, hope in our Master Yahshua, but we still have difficulties and we don't want to suffer. But that is what being patient in our circumstances means at times. Let's go over to Romans 5 and verses 3-4. Romans 5, we'll also look at Romans chapter 15, but Romans 5, verses 3-4, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. So just like Paul at the end of his life had hope. He said, I'm being poured out like a drink offering. He went through the trials. He went through the troubles. He grew in patience, and he grew in character, and his character was proven, which ultimately gave him hope at the end. And of course, we have hope going through the things that we go through. So it says to exult in our tribulations. But we can, where do we get patience from? Well, here Paul says that we can learn it through suffering, just as James said in 1:3, which we read first. But we can also ask for patience, similar to James saying that we can ask for wisdom. We can also be strong in character for those that are weak. And this is where we get into Romans 15, starting in verse 1. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength, and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his own good, to his edification. For even Messiah did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Now, may the Elohim who gives perseverance, that is patience, endurance, long-suffering, and encouragement, that is support, inspiration, motivation, grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Messiah Yahshua, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the Elohim and Father of our Master, Yahshua the Messiah. That is beautiful. And it's encouraging. The end result is to bring glory and esteem to the Father through Yahshua the Messiah. To be of the same mind, speech, actions, etc. And this fits with what Yahshua wanted in the prayer to the Father in John chapter 17. In bearing the weaknesses of others, we get into the word macrothumia. The Complete Word Study Dictionary, the New Testament, says of this word, Strong's 31:15, macrothumia, it's a mouthful, is patience in respect to persons, while hupomone, 52:81, endurance, is putting up with the things or circumstances. Both words are often found together. Macrothumia is associated with mercy. That's something to really think about, because the Father has shown us mercy, and we need to extend that to one another. And a lot of the areas of Scripture that talks about backbiting and, you know, pointing of the fingers, that needs to stop, because that's not extending mercy, that's extending judgment. And those that do will be judged, is what the Word says. We'll take a look at some of those things. But are we to have mercy? Are we to endure? It's not always easy. And we don't always endure or have mercy as we should. But this is a growing process we're in. And it's one reason to come together, so that we can practice on one another. Bet you never thought about that before, that we're actually practicing on one another. This is how we grow. This is part of the process. And I think Michael said earlier to me, he says, I'm here so that you can grow in patience. Well, brother, it's sort of working. We do the best that we can, and we love one another, and that's a big help, because we work issues out. We overcome, we do the things that are pleasing to the Father, ultimately. We strive, yes, I hear you back there. We strive for these things. Just as the Apostle Paul, you know, the things he wanted to do, he didn't do. Well, there are some things this last week I did that I didn't want to do. It was more internally, but that kind of goes along with the idea that we are struggling within each other, you know, flesh versus the spirit, knowing what to do, you know, and what is right versus, you know, what am I dealing with my feelings, you know, what am I dealing with in anger or frustration, you know, I'm supposed to have patience, but yet I feel the struggle. So I'm pretty sure that's what Paul was going on, or that was what was going on with Paul as well. Well, after 20 years, I'm dealing with such things after coming into the faith. So it's a growing process. And, you know, the practice of good behavior produces good character in us. In these things, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 3, give no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited. So we're not to be just thinking about ourselves, we're to be thinking about Yahweh's name, about Yahshua's name, about what they're doing, and, you know, not only through us, but for others. And I fail at times, I admit, and I struggle. And I'm supposed to be a good example for everyone. And that's not that, you know, you can't say, well, yeah, I'm doing okay, but it's just, you know, there's struggles. And I think each one of us has these different struggles going on. But giving no offense for in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited, but in everything commending ourselves as servants of Elohim in much hupomone, endurance, in afflictions, in hardship, in distresses, in beatings, and imprisonments. I've never gone through that sort of thing, but Paul did. And, you know, even Joshua said he's going to know what he's going to have to go through because of what he has done. So he didn't get away with anything. He, you know, because he, you know, was against the assembly itself at one time, he had to learn, you know, some things. And so he did. In afflictions, hardship, distresses, beatings, imprisonments, and tumults, and labors, and sleeplessness, and hunger, and purity, and knowledge, and patience, macrothumia, in patience. So not only in patience generally, but in patience with one another. And I'm sure, you know, that this is addressed to Corinth. They had a number of issues, and so he's practicing patience with them. In kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love. So endurance and patience, and these things are associated with genuine love for one another and love for the Father, ultimately. Giving no cause for offense so that the ministry will not be affected negatively. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 11. Now you follow my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, that's macrothumia. And I suppose since it's on a smaller scale, that macro plays a part in the word there, macro. But love, perseverance, hupomone, you know, it's overall patience. Persecutions and suffering, such as happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of all of them the Master rescued me. So he saw this in his life. We see this in our life. You know, was able to sell that car before we moved over, able to sell the bed. Things worked out. Yahweh, you know, provided. But the things that Paul went through, wow. I mean, how can I even compare? Can't. So, you know, it's, we all go through different things, and some things are more difficult than others. But the Master sees us through, and that's the point. But we're to have patience for one another, persevering in every situation we find ourselves in, trusting Yahweh will see us through, allowing the power of Messiah to be strengthened in us. We are practicing macrothumia with each other, and hupomone overall. Both can be translated patience. It reminds me of that bumper sticker that says, Master, give me patience right now. And I'm sure if Paul was, you know, had those available in his time, he may have bought one and put it on his chariot or something. They didn't have any cars. So. But it was Paul's desire that we have patience. Second Thessalonians 3 and verse 5. Sorry, honey, can you grab my cup on the other side of the... 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 5. Speaking of the power of the Master, may the Master direct your hearts into the love of Elohim and into the steadfastness, into the hupomone of Messiah, into the patience of Messiah. To be of like mind of Messiah is to have a similar patience and enduring spirit. In Revelation, it speaks of the word of his patience, specifically to the Philadelphia assembly in Asia Minor, over in Revelation 3 and verse 10. Revelation 3 and verse 10 says, because you have kept my word of perseverance, or hupomone, I will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. So keeping and having kept the word of Yahshua's patience, what is that saying exactly? Is it saying that these exceptional saints were mature in Messiah doing as he would do? You know, we've heard the saying, you know, WW, you know, of course he was J, but we could use Y, Y, and then D. What would Yahshua do? Well, being patient is one thing that Yahshua did and wants us to do. Being patient with each other and in their, well, in speaking of the saints here, their current station in life. And I think this can relate down to our day. And I think this does relate to an end time because it talks about the hour that is about to come upon the whole world. That hour did not come upon them at that time, at least not to my understanding. This is talking about end time. So I'm thinking something along those lines. They were in Messiah in the sense of doing what he would want them to do, and there's nothing said bad about them. So can we be like this today? Absolutely. 1 Timothy 1, starting in verse 15. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. This isn't just saying something haphazardly. This is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance, that Messiah Yahshua came in the world to save sinners, among whom I am the foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Yahshua Messiah might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. So the example that he expressed through Paul is the example we can express to others who might be the chief of sinners or the what we might consider the least of the brethren. We should have compassion and mercy and show the what you know the Messiah has shown to us ultimately, not just to Paul, but to all of us. Know anyone that you think is the least in the body of Messiah? Paul is saying you should express the same kind of patience towards them as Yahshua has forgiven them and us. This word for patience here is the word macrothumia. And it really is our goal to be like Messiah was and is and towards others, blameless, without spot, wrinkle, sinless. Of course, he was sinless in his actions and no evil in his mind or heart. And it's a tall order for us humans. It really is a tall order for us. This is something we have to work on. But we're encouraged because we have Yahweh's Spirit to help us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. Who has known the mind of Messiah? Or has known the mind of Yahweh, rather, that he will instruct him. But we have the mind of Messiah. So Paul understood that there was and is access to the power of Messiah, to tap into his thoughts as long as we are willing and are sensitive to his spirit. Paul may have been thinking about Isaiah 40:13 when saying this. Isaiah 40:13 says, "Who has directed the spirit of Yahweh, or as his counselor informed him?" A little different wording, but basically meaning the same thing. If you'd go over to Ephesians 4, another area in which we find patience towards one another is Ephesians 4, starting in verse 1. Ephesians 4 and verse 1. Therefore I, the prisoner of the Master, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, macrothumia, specifically towards one another, showing tolerance. And so here's a Hebrew parallelism in which, we're reading some Greek words here. We're seeing a Hebrew parallelism in the sense of how this is laid out, showing tolerance for one another, which is what the previous word is meaning. But doing so in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So last week, I think we looked at this scripture in the Bible study, since we were talking about relationships between us and even those on the outside. And it's difficult. I'll be the first to admit, it's difficult sometimes within. It's difficult outside at times, whether it be employers or, you know, coworkers or, you know, the neighbor next door that's got the dog that just will not stop barking, or the kids that want to throw off the fireworks when they're not supposed to at certain times of the year. Not that, you know, kids do that. Right, Esteban Jr.? You kids don't do that, do you? I hope not. You're good kids. Yeah. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. Therefore, I, the prisoner and master, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And, you know, Paul talks about other areas in which he says, do your utmost to, if it is at all possible with you, to keep the peace. And you get into Matthew chapter 5, and we talk about the Beatitudes. And, you know, we can go into Galatians even, and I think we will hear a little bit. But, you know, we were talking about relationships in the Bible study because this is something that we need to talk about. We need to work on our relationships. And this, you know, this is something that we're not always skilled in how to talk to one another. And, you know, you can use you statements, which kind of puts people off. Or you can use I statements, which kind of is less intimidating for, you know, the one you're talking to. And there's different skill sets. And we're talking at the Bible study today. Deborah, you brought up some good ideas, and your desire is to teach some of these things. You didn't necessarily mention relationship skills, but we could have workshops at the Feast of Tabernacles, for example, on relationship skills. We could talk about, you know, different things. But these are things that will help build up the body, build up the unity in the body to help us to love one another and to get along with one another and to have macrothumia for one another, which is needed. It's just needed. But it's something that we need to grow in. It's not something that's just overnight. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14. 1 Thessalonians 5, 14 through 18. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly. So there are times when we do need to speak up. There are times when, you know, patience has to be, you know, involved with telling, you know, what's what. But we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, and always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is Elohim's will for you and Messiah Yahshua. This is his will. This is what Paul is telling. He's telling us. Did we not understand what his will is? We are told what his will is. Rejoice always, praying without ceasing, in everything give thanks. But having patience, tolerance, perseverance, these type of things. Be patient with everyone. That is a tall order. Be patient with your kids. Be patient with your spouse. Be patient with your employer. Be patient with you fill in the blank. The next verse, verse 19, says, do not quench the spirit. Why would it say that? Galatians 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, macrothemia. I bet you didn't know that. I didn't know that. Not until this morning. And I've been working on this for 2 days. Some of these things come out, and they come out at an appropriate time. But macrothemia, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, against such things there is no law. And of course, the flesh, things against the law, were noted in 19 through 21 there. Very evident, those things. But in the Spirit. So when Paul says, do not quench the Spirit, in context of having patience, he's not kidding. Going against the Spirit is going to get you into the flesh and get you into things like impatience. And this is something that I had to deal with this week. And that's why this message is being presented. Because it's something that I needed to review. I needed to get a hold of my own impatience. And so I hope this is helpful for everyone, so that we can be more patient and that we can grow in these things, because it tells us how. But the Spirit is able to give patience in all situations, but sometimes our flesh, our own will, our own desire, our own frustration, the flesh gets in the way. But we are to overcome our own flesh and submit to Yahweh's Spirit. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, and starting in verse 10. Colossians 1, verse 10. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Master. We're talking about the Philadelphia assembly. Nothing wrong with them. They were walking in a manner appropriate and in Messiah, and they were commended. You're doing well. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Master, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of Elohim. Not just of the Messiah, Elohim too, because they are of the same spirit in the sense of being united in purpose and goals and aspirations, and also they have mercy and patience, and we're to have the same. Strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And we've looked at scriptures before where, you know, we see light within his light. We're talking about the Messiah and also the Father, and we're included to have light, to share light. And our light is going to becoming brighter as the world gets darker. And while there are riots and different things going on, we're to have peace and patience and loving kindness towards one another and even those on the outside, not in the faith. But in the light, in the Spirit, in patience with one another and with whatever situation we find ourselves in. And I think, just a suspicion, we're going to find ourselves in more troubled times yet ahead, because these things are lingering and people are becoming impatient. And, you know, that's the way of the world. But we need to keep separate from the world and continue growing in the attributes of Yahweh's Spirit. So allowing that seed to grow within us that has been planted within us through immersion, through the laying on of hands, that's something that can grow and that we can have more fruits of the Spirit. So I was kind of disappointed with myself this last week because, hey, wait a minute. I've been here a long time. I'm still struggling like this. Not a good thing. So I am convicted that I need to work on myself. Colossians 1. Oh, we already read that. Let's go on to James. James chapter 5. James chapter 5, starting in verse 7. And again, you see this pattern again and again in the sense of what's being described is being described in the Spirit. These are attributes of the Spirit of Yahweh. As we see Messiah, we see the fruit of the Spirit in him, and we're to have that same fruit. James 5, 7 through 9. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Master. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it, until it gets the early and latter rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Master is near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. So this also reminds us of not pointing the finger, you know, others doing character assassination, because that's essentially what it is. It's character assassination. And, you know, talking about one another in a negative way. It's defamation of character, which is actually a legal term and way that people sue each other for defamation of character. You know, people lose millions of dollars over defamation of character. For us, there is a greater cost to be paid if we do such things. Some things need to be spoken, but malicious character attacks should not come forth from our mouths. Our mouths should be used for praise, for good things, glory, for building up. I mean, the purpose for the Spirit is also within each of us so that we build one another up. That's what the gift is for, because we're a temple being built up. So do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Some things need to be spoken, but malicious character attacks should not come forth from our mouths. James is correct. The judge is standing right at the door, and we need to be doing what is right, not what is wrong. And if we are suffering, we still need to do what is right and not what is wrong. James 5. James 5 and verse 10. Continuing here. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of Yahweh. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of Yahweh's dealings, that Yahweh is full of compassion and is merciful. So James brings up those prophets who told of the truth, of Yahweh's word. He also, we also tell the world of Yahweh's word and have the same message going forth as John the Immerser, as Yahshua the Messiah, as the disciples. And as they became apostles, they kept preaching the same thing. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Things are going to wrap up. You know? Let's get in line with Yahweh's will. Let's turn away from the things that are unpleasing to the Father. But they all spoke of repentance for the coming kingdom, and we're doing the same. And that is different than character assassination. We're telling people how to live according to the word, but also warning of the wrath to come to those who do not repent. But that's not our job. And, you know, we have people calling us at times asking about, well, you know, my family, they're really not doing what they should be doing. What do you think is going to happen to them? I don't know. All I know is what the word says. And if they don't repent, well, there's consequences. But you can't judge them. We're to be responsible for ourselves. But yet we have a responsibility to share the word. And so it gets into the Eliyah spirit, the idea that, we proclaim Yahweh's name and that we teach the other truths that have been neglected. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6 and verse 10, starting there. For Elohim is not unjust I actually printed this out, and I have it above my desk at home, just as a reminder for me, because, you know, I need to be encouraged by the scriptures, just as you need to be encouraged by the scriptures. And we all have a part of what's being talked about here. Hebrews 6, verse 10, "For Elohim is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown towards his name, and having ministered and still ministering to the saints, and we desire that each of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." So this is one area of scriptures which makes some scholars think this is an outline message speaking to other leaders about the brethren. But we all have the ability to share the word, especially today with the media and the literature and these type of things. And we do share these things. In fact, I got a call from the East Coast up in New York. This fellow, I've never met him personally, and I'm not even sure, I couldn't recall if he's baptized. I was talking to Carrie this morning about it, and he called and he said, well, you know that COVID-19 thing that's been going around? I got it. He was in the hospital from February the 15th, I think he said he went in, until just the other day. He's in his 80s. And he survived. And he was so thankful. He was thankful for us sharing literature with him, because we would send boxes, and because that's what he wants to do. He wants to share the word. And, you know, we have different gifts and different qualities, and not everyone is, you know, willing to go out and hand literature out on the streets. This fellow is. And he said again and again, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to share the word. That's beautiful. It really is, you know. And, you know, what he's gone through, even this late stage in his life, is, you know, life altering. And I have no doubt that Yahweh saw him through it and has allowed him to come through it and praise Yahweh even more than he was doing previously. And I made sure that the box that he asked for this time was packed, because I'm sure he has more of a zeal to do Yahweh's will. Hebrews 6, 10 through 12. "For Elohim is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown towards his name, in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints," or anyone else. I mean, ultimately, you know, I was wandering there for a while. You know, we send so much literature out, even to the prisons. You know, a lot of the ministry mailings goes right into the prisons. And we don't see a lot of necessarily those coming out and coming here, and I'm thinking, well, you know, but it's for a purpose. It's for the word going forth, and their families are shared the word, and it's like a domino effect. And essentially they are being witnessed to. And this word is to go out as a witness. And again, Yahweh says it's not going to come back to him void. So we're still determined to do what we're doing, even though we might not see necessarily an immediate benefit coming back. But we understand that many are called, few are chosen, so it's just the way it is. But there is a purpose for reaching out. But this is one area of Hebrews like I say, I've printed it out and put on the wall because I think it's encouraging. But notice it is with faith and patience that we inherit the promises. It's with faith and patience. Have you ever seen someone without patience? Maybe on a particular job. Eventually, they quit the job. And that is not what we are to imitate. Again, the author of Hebrews says, "We desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but that you will be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." And, you know, when it says we, that really stuck out in my mind, you know, that we desire that each one of you, who's we? Is this one of the apostles? It might be, because he's saying we. The example of the apostles was great for all of us, that we learn to do what they did and not be sluggish, but be imitators. So just as the author of Hebrews was encouraging patience and doing good, so is Paul in 2 Corinthians with urgency in Messiah Yahshua. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and starting in verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. "And working together with him," that is with Yahshua, "we also urge you to you not to receive the grace of Elohim in vain. For he says, 'At the acceptable time, I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.'" And as we move forward, we are urgent about sharing the word, because now is the day of salvation. "Giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited, but in everything commending ourselves as servants of Elohim, in much endurance, afflictions, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and in tumults, in labors, and sleeplessness, in hunger, and purity, and knowledge, and patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of Elohim, by the weapons of righteousness, for both the right hand and the left." And we are all involved with this. It's a tall order, but it's one that we can, especially in afflictions and hardships, etc. And when it comes to sharing the word, sharing Yahweh's name and other truths of his word, we can expect to receive no less than trouble at times. Especially as we see the world growing darker. Some people are going to become less tolerant, more impatient with the truth as we move forward. It's cause and effect. Let's go over to Matthew 24, getting close to wrapping up here. But Matthew 24, starting in verse 12. Matthew 24 and verse 12. "Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures," which is a future tense of hupomone, it's a little different, but it's future tense of patience, "to the end, he will be saved. This evangel," this one, the word of Yahweh, speaking of the kingdom, speaking of Yahshua, "this evangel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." How's that going to happen? It's happening in the sense of going out on media. It's happening as we send out literature. When we send it overseas, we send it to the East Coast, West Coast. It's going out around the world. And you're all involved in that. You may not be in the office, you may not be on the printer, you know, putting these things together. And it's a lot easier now than it used to be. We used to have a Ryobi double two-color press, and we had to have someone on it all the time because, you know, it didn't just run itself. And we had to do up negatives, and you had to cut the paper, and you had to put it in, you had to spread the oil, or the ink, the oil ink. It's like an oily ink that was put on the rollers. and that thing would go choo-choo, 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 and push out page after page. And after that was done, you'd have to take all that. And then there's like a double stapler on a piece of wood that was set so that you could, you know, get these things in there. There's rollers. You have to fold things. You have to put them in there, you know, and staple these things together. Now it's you push a button, and it goes to the printer that has a booklet feeder, and it just does everything all automatic. So things have increased in sense of the productivity for the amount of people that are here. But you all have a part of it because the tithe goes into the work. It's not for, you know, building up anything else, and we're not spending a lot of time building up the building here, but, you know, even with the cameras that are needed, we're almost there. But we didn't want to take from the tithe for that because the tithe is enough to do the work, and we trust more will come in and we will be able to do more. But the word has to take priority, and we are all involved in it. But some tough times ahead. Matthew 24:12-14, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. In this evangel, the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world as a testimony, as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. So this is not the only area that speaks of future events, which, you know, we need patience, but the fact that having patience will in fact save you is pretty important. The partial parallel to Matthew 24 is in Luke 21. Luke 21 and verse 16, starting there. Luke 21, we'll close with this. Luke 21, verse 16 through 19. You will be betrayed even by parents. You know, this is speaking to us. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, friends. They will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, yet not a hair of your head will perish. By your hupomone, you will gain your lives. By your patience, you will live. How can you lose your life and yet not a hair on your head will perish? Well, resurrection to life is how. Yahshua is the example. His hair was just fine after he was resurrected. And some of us may not have as much hair as we would like. Well, I'm sure that could be rectified. Bob's, you know, doing this. So again, have patience and you'll gain your life. Don't try to save your life. Be patient with what's going on around us, in the world, at home, in your employment. Be patient. Allow things to be worked out. You know, it's like Moses taking the Israelites out, and he said, be quiet. Could have said, be patient. But, you know, he said, allow the salvation of Yahweh. You know, you'll see it. And we will see it too, if we're patient. By hupomone, we will gain our lives. So again, have patience and we'll gain our lives, even eternal life. And if this is not enough of an incentive to learn to grow in patience, I don't know what is. So as you, as I, as we recognize areas, you know, as we're tested and tried, as we recognize strengths, that's great, but as we recognize weaknesses in ourselves, we need to work on these things. And if you need to talk to someone, I'm here, but you know, we can talk to one another different times, and we can get support from one another so that this temple is built up to the glory, to the esteem of the Father through his son, Yahshua. But it's going to take patience on our part because the work is not done yet, individually or collectively, for what Yahweh has planned. And what he has planned is awesome. And so we look forward to a time in which there is no more death, no more suffering, no more troubles. But everything and every good thing that has been built up within us over time will be brought into the coming kingdom and beyond. And that's something to look forward to.